you're fighting on this side, and you're fighting on the other side. So he's the call for the two items next from the team, Pastor, for opening the doors and giving us an open door and warm hearts to come here and even fellowship with you this morning. Now, I don't have a lot to say, but I take a long time to say what I do say. But we know that we can't say anything different that has already been said. Mm-hmm. The prophet has already wrought all the mysteries. He's already, there's no more mysteries to be revealed. We are just digesting what he has already brought. And therefore, we're just going back to confirm by the Spirit what was already preached. And so, without any further ado, I'd just like to invite you to the book of Isaiah. And my topic today is American prophecy in relation to September 9/11. I did this a couple of years ago, and I thought this morning, in respect of not being in fellowship or not meeting your pastor and the elders here, I don't want to speak on anything doctrinal until we all have fellowship, because I want to respect the head of this church. So if the Lord comes, we just want to speak on prophecy, and I pray that it will be a blessing to you. And Isaiah 1, starting with the second verse, hear, O heavens. Thank you. You've been well taught. That just shows that you've been well taught. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel do not know. My people do not consider. Ah, sinful nation. Notice nation, not nations. One particular nation. He's talking to Israel. Ah, sinful nation. A people laden with iniquity. A seed of evildoers. Children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One. And the Lord of Israel to anger. They are gone away backward. Father, we are so thankful that we have the good sense to know that we are unable to unlock the very context of your word. We have our ideas, we have our thoughts. Lord, but they are not sufficient, they are not good enough. You said your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Now we ask now, Lord, that you give us the ability. Amen. For we believe, Lord, these are your words. These are your instructions. These are your exhortations, Lord. You are the great teacher, and you are the great tutor, Lord. You are the lesson also. So come now, anoint your servants, anoint your children's hearts. May you be glorified. May the message of the hour be so sure toward us, light, that we can hold on to the end. We ask now, Lord, that you give us much favor. Meet the needs of your children, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Brother Brown told us that he was a psychologist, that in so teaching that he was not educated in the sense of theology, but he showed us that he saw certain patterns in the Bible and certain shadows and certain types. And the majority of his message was drawn, and his context was drawn from shadows and types. Therefore, in understanding the God of heaven and earth, he showed us through his messenger, William Branham, that if a prophet messenger can look into the world and see shadows and types, it means that God has written the world in such a way that we can see shadows and types that relate to our day.
Amen.
And so the Bible is not a dead book. It is something that we can, it's written, the book of Romans 3 says, what is written in the scriptures is written for our example and for our learning.
Yeah.
Therefore, when we look at the scriptures, we don't see a historical book, but we see living principles that can be applied in any age.
Yeah.
And if those principles are applied, the same results will be gotten even by the ones that are applying it even in the age that you are applying it in.
Yeah.
And so therefore, the Bible is a living source of inspiration.
Yeah.
But I believe that the context of this Bible, amen, is an I am tense. And in the context, not just the God is I am, but the context of the word is I am also. And therefore, no, whatever happens in our society, what happens in the modern events, it must be made clear by prophecy. Because this book and every newspaper that has ever been put together, amen, in any age, even in the age to come.
Amen.
In this book. And the prophet of God said, this Bible has become a new book since the opening of the series. So my context is America in prophecy in relation to September 9/11, because we know our world has changed. It is not what it used to be. And since 9/11, we saw an increase of war. Not just rumors of war, but war.
Amen.
Russia has invaded Georgia.
Amen.
And therefore, we see another escalation happening of wars. We've had tidal waves. That's 3 years ago. It killed more than 300,000 people. We had earthquakes and diverse places. We see all the signs are here. But yet, September 9/11 remains a key point to the change of our life as we know it.
Amen.
And therefore, I want to look at it and to do it and to follow in America in history, in prophecy. And the prophet of God told us that we have a true prophet in different places. He said, America, Israel is the perfect type of America. Or I should say this way, America is the type of Israel.
Amen.
Is that right? America is the type of Israel. Therefore, I must be able to find the inception of America in the Bible when it becomes a nation.
Amen.
How it became a nation. And be able to follow American history in the line of Israel's history.
Amen.
And must be able to find modern events that we can identify with and learn from it.
Amen.
And know what to expect. And in so doing, it will not, I'm praying that these messages are not in so much doctrinal, but it will encourage our faith that this message is not a fairy tale.
Amen.
This message is not some man's idea, but this message is must save the Lord.
Amen.
And if he says this Bible become a new book, then it must be that some people will say amen to that.
Amen.
Not only because it's true, but because if they are experiencing that they say it in new book.
Amen.
Now we start off with Abraham. There before there was ever an Israel. Israel was in the loins of Abraham.
Amen.
In that Israel, the nation of Israel, was in the loins of Abraham. And God promised Abraham that he was going to give him a land. A land of milk and honey. A land where he can be multiplied, where he can become a nation shall come out of him.
Amen.
Not only that, but he promised in the book of Genesis 17, I think the 16th verse, and also the 6th verse, he told him that kings shall come out of him. So God was telling Abraham that he was going to be the father of many nations, but in particular, the father of a specific nation, of Israel. And we find that Abraham, being the father of nations, even moved into a land that his children were born in. We call that the land of Canaan. We call that the promised land.
Amen.
That he was Israel. And the prophet is saying, look,
amen.
Now we're going to look at that carefully. We find that when Israel was in the homeland, after Abraham had brought forth his son Isaac, Isaac brought forth Jacob, Jacob brought forth 12 sons, and they were living in a land. And in that land, God, who promised a king would come out of it, brought forth Joseph.
Amen.
Now we know that Joseph is a type of Christ.
Amen.
Is that right? Joseph is a type of Christ. I've got some notes quickly here. Amen. Joseph was loved of his father. Christ was loved of his father.
Amen.
Joseph was a covenant son. Amen. A covenant son with the father. So was also Jesus. Amen. Joseph was born king of the Jews. He was to be king of the Jews.
Amen.
Jesus is born king of the Jews. Joseph was a rejected king of Israel. Jesus was rejected king of Israel. Amen. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. Jesus betrayed by his brothers. And for silver. Amen. Joseph rose from the grave to the right hand of Pharaoh.
the gospel of Jesus left the land of Israel and moved to Europe.
Amen.
And when Joseph was rejected by his brethren, he left the promised land, which was Israel.
Amen.
And moved into Egypt.
Amen.
So we would look at Egypt as a type of Europe. Egypt is the old country.
Amen.
Egypt was older than Abraham, because Abraham went to Egypt and he was already king in Egypt. Is that right?
Amen.
Therefore we see that the gospel, when it was rejected by Israel, amen, moved to Europe.
Amen.
Amen. When Joseph was rejected, he moved to Egypt.
Amen.
Amen. So Egypt is a type of the old country, which the prophet God interprets like this in Revelation 17. At 13, he said, I saw a beast rise out of the sea. He said, what is the sea? He said, it's a land that was already civilized. Land of people already living.
Amen.
Land that already had kings and governors and so forth. Therefore, when Joseph moved to Egypt, there was already a government there.
Amen.
There was already civilization there.
Amen.
So, Europe is a time of Egypt.
Amen.
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 Now the gospel of Joseph moves to Egypt.
Amen.
And while in Egypt, Joseph's name becomes great.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus' name begins to prosper in Europe.
Amen.
Amen. The gospel has come to Europe.
Amen.
It's alright.
Amen.
Therefore now we see that he became the rejected bread of Egypt, of God, of Israel. Israel rejected the bread of God. And as Israel rejected the bread of life, it was a type, amen, of Ruth and Naomi and Mara and Chilion, which was Amalek and his wife Naomi, his son. Remember, they were from Bethlehem.
Amen.
Now Bethlehem means the house of God's bread.
Amen.
Yet they said there was a famine in the land.
Amen. Amen.
It's moving to Europe. It's moving to Egypt. Now, what happened to Egypt? The bread of life there in Egypt. Now Joseph is given bread in Egypt.
Amen.
Joseph's name becomes great because he is dispensing the bread of life.
Amen.
And all nations, not just Egyptians, all nations is coming in it where Joseph's kingdom is.
Amen.
And he has given them bread.
Amen.
Just like in Egypt, in Europe, Christianity started in from Jerusalem when it was rejected and began to prosper in Europe. And Joseph's name became great. Jesus' name became great. His faith, his religion, his God, amen, became great in Europe.
Amen.
Became great in Egypt. Now I'm trying to cut some of these things short, so I pray my liberty God to fill it in by the Holy Spirit. So what happened? Jesus or Joseph becomes, amen, the savior of the world for that moment.
Amen.
In Europe, in Egypt, the whole world knows that if you want to be saved or you want bread of life, you must come to Joseph.
Amen.
It's a type. Egypt is a type of Europe. And Joseph is a type of Christ, the great king. Now, it says in a matter of time. Of course, we're going to skip a lot. But you know where I am now. I am in Europe, I am in Egypt, and Joseph.
Amen.
Now we find a king, a Pharaoh, Isaac, that knew not Joseph.
Amen.
Now when the scriptures write, when the Holy Spirit writes in the Bible, it is expecting us to depend on His Spirit to know what that really means.
Amen.
Can you imagine a king are not doing is only astray.
Amen.
That doesn't mean that you never heard the name Joseph. No, it doesn't mean that. It means he refused to acknowledge, amen, the faith and name and history of Joseph.
Amen.
He's anti-Joseph.
Amen.
He's anti-Jesus. What do you think? He's anti-Christ. Anti-Christ begins to rise.
Amen.
The anti-Christ spirit begins to rise in Egypt. Begins to rise in Europe. Pharaoh rose to know that Joseph. Let me give you an example of how foolish it is. It is like, let's say 100 years, let's say 50 years from now, a leader rises up in South Africa, but he knows not Mandela.
Yeah.
Okay. You imagine that? No, it's not that he knows that. He will not have knowledge or respect or give honor to contributions that was made by Mandela. You see, therefore, this spirit that is rising, this hero that is rising, is anti-Joseph.
Amen.
An anti, remember, Pharaoh is a prophet, priest, and king.
Amen.
Pharaoh was a prophet, priest, and king. That spirit that rises, it shows that the anti-Christ spirit came upon this particular king or priest, and now he is anti-Christ.
Amen.
Now he's anti-Joseph. In Europe to kill 68 million Christians. Is that true? Glorious. Our smokers, glorious Reformation is brought here. Fox's Book of Martyrs. What is he doing? He's trying to exterminate Joseph.
Amen.
He's trying to exterminate Joseph's name, trying to exterminate Joseph's faith, Joseph's people. Is that not Antichrist? Is that not what the Pope did in Europe?
Amen.
He started an inquisition and he began to persecute the Christians.
Amen.
Is that right? And amen, and this persecution, he wanted to eradicate all the seeds.
Amen.
All the male children. Why does he want to eradicate all the male children? It's a time that he does not want the seed of faith to be propagated.
Amen.
And therefore, if he kills off all the male, amen, that gives seed.
Amen.
So that he could plant his own seed in a woman.
Amen.
See, because he wants to reproduce his own image.
Amen.
He does not want to reproduce the image of Joseph in the people.
Amen.
You see, but even though he was anti-Joseph, even though he was trying to wipe out the seed, amen, they had one thing going for them. They kept communion. They had Joseph's body as a memorial.
Amen.
Amen. Communion was a memorial. Amen. That Joseph was coming again.
Amen.
Communion was a testify. Amen. No matter what you do, amen, he's coming. That he's coming again.
Amen.
So they kept Joseph's body in Egypt. Which means the communion as a memorial.
Amen.
What does that spirit want to do? That spirit that wants to destroy the people of God. What kind of spirit was that? What spirit that would cause him to kill 68 million Jews? Would you like to know what spirit is in them? That will cause the same spirit that was in Hitler to kill 6 million Jews. It does not matter if it comes on a religious man, it will kill. If it comes on a politician, it will kill. It doesn't matter who it comes on, the main thing is hate and kill.
Amen.
Same spirit, Roman spirit. Amen. That comes from the bottomless pit. It grows, the power is rising from the earth, from the bottomless pit. In other words, it was subdued for a while, and all of a sudden it let loose in Europe. It let loose in Egypt. Would you like to see that king?
Amen.
Would you like to see that spirit?
Amen.
Let's go to the book of Revelation. Hmm. Revelation chapter 9. And the 11th verse. And they had a king over there, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. Now watch carefully. The prophet of God said, right now, Satan is not in the pool.
Amen.
He said, under the trumpet, three things happen under the trumpet. You have the shout, God is the living. The voice, and God is the dead. Under the trumpet, there's a threefold mystery. Under the trumpet, the bride goes up for the supper. She meets incarnate God in the air. And she goes to the supper. Under the second bowl of the mystery of the trumpet, Satan himself comes down and incarnates in the fourth to meet his bride, and she becomes the supper. The king, come all ye birds, and feed on the mighty men of the earth, the kings, and so forth. Then he comes the supper. And then the last four of the trumpet, is Moses and Elijah, appears on the scene. So if the Satan is not incarnated in the pool, then who is in the pool? This is now the Spirit.
Amen.
The King of the bottomless pit. His name is Abaddon. Now you can look at that king in the bottomless pit, in the pool, in the message piece of the trumpet that the prophet brings out. He says, you know, and the third part of the star, so that the third part of the star, read it in the wrong place. 9-11. And the king, they had a king over there, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. Now if you look at your sign, you've got a scorpion, and you look at the sign of what Abaddon means, it means destroyer. He is the one that is riding on the white horse to destroy religious truth.
Amen.
Then you ride on the red horse to destroy politically. Then you ride on the black horse to destroy economically. And in the last horse, the fair horse rider, he's riding the spirit of death. He's coming to destroy everything. He's the destroyer.
Amen.
Satan cannot be the white horse rider. Because he has a ministry to accuse the brethren. He must say they are accusing the brethren. If he stops accusing, then there's no accusation. You'll take the church because she will be justified without any accusations.
Amen.
You know, right?
Amen.
God in Christ will not take the church. But he has a ministry that he accuses the brethren. And while he's accusing, God has intercessory.
Amen.
Accusation, intercession. See? Therefore, we can come. So, therefore, who is in that pool? Amen. But I want you to notice the Holy Spirit never writes in His Word without a purpose. In the church, he says, brother, what is written in Holy Scripture is written for the anointed eyes to see.
Amen.
It is for a purpose.
Amen. Amen.
That's how inspired the word is.
Yes.
He says, in the Hebrew tongue, it's Abaddon. In the Greek, it's Apollyon. Showing you that this spirit, amen, was in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew.
Amen.
Amen. Not just the Greek New Testament. In the Hebrew, the same spirit in Pharaoh that destroyed and destroyed God's people.
Amen.
So here now we find the Antichrist spirit in Egypt, the Antichrist spirit in Europe, coming against Joseph, coming against Christ and his people. We're following now. We haven't come to America yet, we're still in Europe. This is what begins to happen. God promised them a deliverer. To deliver them. They begin to cry. Why are they crying? They're crying, amen, because they want to worship God. Amen. And God has come down. He said, I've come down to deliver them in that sense. Why? He said that they might come and worship on this mountain. They can't worship Egypt. Yes, their worship is oppressed. Their joy is created. See? It's oppressed. Therefore, They must leave Europe. The ones who want to worship must leave Egypt. They must leave Egypt. They must leave Europe because of the Inquisitions, because of the persecution.
Amen.
Amen. What are they looking for? They're looking for a land of religious freedom.
They began to organize the land. Remember, they were not a united nation yet. They were not a united nation yet. And the first schools, the first school that was ever built, how many know it was Harvard? 20 years later, before they landed, after they landed, they built Harvard University. I know for the first teachers, the professors, were their ministers. You know what was their main study material? The Bible. Harvard University. Their teachers and professors were their ministers. Their main textbook was the Bible. The first step of leaders that led our country was educated from Harvard and Yale University. Yale was done, it was at least 15, 20 years ago. That's before the 17th century. That's how old that institution is. Founded on religious principles, taught by ministers. That's what this nation was about. It was the only nation that had a radical government. All governments in Europe, all were monarchies or dictators. When these people projected a government, they said, we want a people, by the people, and for the people. That was unheard of in those days. Where did they get that from? They prayed on the Mayflower and wrote their first compact. It's called the Mayflower Compact that they wrote that we want the government by and for them. A government that has been elected by a religious nation that will put up a godly man.
Amen.
That was unheard of. In Europe at that time, it was the right of king by bloodline. They ruled.
Yes. Amen.
Whether he was a tyrant or not. Okay, I'm going to skip the Civil War. I'm going to skip the war to break all traditional ties from every nation, because America, Israel made ties with other nations. But let's get first to an area here that I think we'll understand. As Israel became a nation, she elected a king, was Saul, so I'm jumping. Saul was a king that was elected, that was a governmental post that they elected. And it so happened that at the time the wealth of Israel was so great, the land, the resources were so much, a type of America, that you had what was called the people of the north and the people of the south. The south were really economically, agriculturally strong, the north were more industrious. And so we had a kind of split that wanted to divide in that Israel, or Israel between Saul and David. So you had a civil war. Just like America had a civil war between the north and the south, in that Israel had a civil war between north and south. I'm going to start right there now. Let's pick it up from there, because there will be too much to be going through much of the history. But let's pick it up. So right after the civil war, Saul is put down. Is that right? Abraham Lincoln is put down. Remember, Abraham Lincoln, a great man, classed in the same class as David. Is that right? And he said, when Lincoln came on the scene, was a type like David coming on the scene. Amen. Because Lincoln was a godly man, religious man. Amen. They called him on his head, and David was a man to God.
Amen.
And what did he do? David united the nation that had a civil war. That's what David did. That's what Abraham Lincoln did. He united the nation from the civil war. And David started what America calls their reconstructive period in American history. It is called their reconstruction period. It was a time that they began to take the resources in the land, and David began to build houses. And David moved his headquarters to Jerusalem, and America moved its headquarters to Washington. David set up his capital and governmental position in Washington, in Jerusalem, and so we set up in Washington. And David began to build. Just like Abraham Lincoln started from that point on, they started, America started to build roads, railroads. They began to do construction on interstate highways and churches. David was very religious. So America was
So many times we that David said, and I was proud when someone told me, let's go into the house of the Lord. I'm going to show you American life to go to church. After that, I'm a period of history. America loved to go to church. They built churches.
They built houses. And they built railroads. And they loved to worship. But David loved to worship. He was telling me that was what was happening in America at that time. David did not, in American history, Reconstruction period, up to World War I, America had a program, international program policy, international policy, of core isolationism, which meant that we are not getting involved in any nation's business. We will not fight for them, we will not be allies with them, amen. We are our own nation, we are strong, and if anyone touches, then you have David's view. Because David was a mighty man of war.
Amen.
No one would touch him. He was a giant.
Even though he was a young king,
he was a giant.
Even though America was a young nation, amen, compared to Europe, amen, he was a giant.
Long David was in rule. David made no allies with no one. He needed no friend to protect him. He needed no country to supply him. All his resources was in the land that was blessed.
Amen.
And he prospered. Now we're moving to another area of American history. The elected Solomon. And Solomon was inherited great wealth. So we're talking from World War II now. America rules in world power. How did she rise in world power? Because she made her greatest mistake when she made allies with Russia. How can a godly nation join an ungodly nation to fight a war? Is their God not strong enough to fight for them?
Amen.
He made an ally of an ungodly nation. For what purpose? So that he can win the war? Is not our God strong enough to deliver, amen, a godly nation from the hands of Hitler?
Amen.
See, it shows that the brother said the Pentecostal reject the Bible under the sixth trumpet, and the sixth trumpet in World War II. Amen. And the Pentecostal was the anointed word for that period of time. And if the nation near and in are allied with Russia, amen, for World War II, it showed our religious nation had become back then.
Amen.
Even though we came on a superpower, it was already showing signs in our religious faith of faith in God who started us in that nation and blessed us. Now we were trusting in our own wisdom.
Amen.
You see, we are trying to buy friends.
Amen.
He said, we made allies with Russia. Now Russia is using our own claims against us.
Amen.
Stalin and Russia and World War II and the alliance that we made with them. So now there is Solomon's time. He's become a super world power in World War II. It used to be Egypt. It used to be the Babylonians. That is, Egypt is just an inheritance of the Babylonians. Is that right? But now America is the world power. It used to be Europe. It used to be England, the sun, the rise and set of the Roman Empire, not anymore. After World War II, all of that was dead. Now Solomon is the man. And what did Solomon do? Now, let's go to our Bible. Solomon's very rich.
Amen.
In the book of Kings, listen. Verse 14. Now we're thinking about Solomon as a nation of America are disappearing in history. Now, the rate of gold that came to someone in 1 year was 603.6 tons of gold. What are you trying to tell me? In income, American income that we have in the nation, the income that is coming in, the taxes, and windfall taxes, and everything else, corporate tax, citizen income tax, import, export, very good. Isn't that what he's saying? Beside that, he had of the merchantmen and of the traffic and of the spice merchants and of the kings of Arabia and of the governors of the country.
Wow.
I think someone made 200 targets of beaten gold, 600 shekels of gold went to one target. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold and 4 gold. And put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, in other words, you should see the place of Solomon's living. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory, overlaid it with the best. What is it? A place of rule, a place of judgment. His court, his supreme court. Oh, you should see the supreme court of America. Oh, you should see the White House. What are you doing? Money. He's making it rich. He's spending great wealth on his capital. His city. Why is he spending all that money? For who? You're telling me. The throne and the steps, top of the throne was around behind and the stairs and on the side of the seat, two lions stood beside. Okay, now let's read now his lifestyle. 21st verse. And all of King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the cross of Lebanon were filled with gold. None were of silver. It was nothing counted in the day of Solomon. Can you imagine now? If the king is living like that, we think his senators are living like that. And if the senators are living like that, guess what the rich merchants and capitalists in America are living like? And if they are living like that, guess what the poor people want to live like? You see, it promotes greed, now promoting a material lifestyle.
Amen.
Amen. So now, everyone, amen, we are living like the king. We are Americans, we are blessed. So what begins to happen? Well, because some smart persons have come with a great scheme that everybody can live the American dream. You know what that great scheme was? It's called credit cards. Buy today, pay the rest of your life. Own today, and sell your life. That was a great scheme. They all want to live like this. If it's telling you how a king is living, it's telling you how your people are living also. Is that right? That's the condition of the nation. Therefore, America became materialistic. Amen. A people that was the next verse, the 22nd verse is the key. Now, remember, silver was not counted. In other words, the money standard. I know people are running after euro. Let them run after it. Because according to the prophet, America will be bailed out by rule, and her dollar will come back to be strong indeed.
Amen.
We can't be talking
about it. Amen.
Amen. That unity of a united Europe and the euro will not last. You can't have. Amen. If unless two walk together, how can they agree?
Amen.
It's not going to last long. It's like water on the oil.
Amen.
Some crazy man is going to pop up and start rocking that EU. He's going to be bailed out. Rabban said, Rome will bail her out.
Amen.
Right. All her debts, Rome. And when Rome bails out, then she will really speak like a dragon.
Amen.
Then she will really speak like a dragon. I say that because I'm going to ask the businessman, watch if you keep the money in Europe, so this lasts for a short while. I want you to know this. In other words, if you go with silver in Israel at this time,
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. No matter what they do, they trade in greenbacks. And I think greenbacks are the American currency. Because if you forward any other currency to Israel in that day, it's not going to convert
it. Amen.
Nobody wants it. The trade was based on the currency Israel was using.
Amen.
The world trades on American currency, no matter if it falls or not.
Amen.
What's your lifestyle? 27 verse. And the king had a siege of navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once in every 2 years, the navy of Tarshish bring gold and silver and iron. What's not? Eggs and peacocks. What is the Bible putting that in there for? It wanted to show you that these people were extravagant. Oh, they're probably building a zoo. They're probably like entertainment. See? They're not becoming not only a materialistic country, but a country of entertainment. Extravagant spending. Living in such a realm that the world wants to be like America, the land of milk.
Amen.
They never went to that country for that reason. They went in that country to worship God.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that the very country that God started is the very country that God appeared in the form of a prophet in a pillar of fire and they rejected him? The very country is in the God blessed that said we are one nation under God.
Amen.
Every country who says in their money in God we trust appear in the form of pillar of fire and upon the thin cloud that appear even over Israel for notice is coming. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. To do the same kind God has did. And the prophet is speaking, as I was with Moses, so am I with you.
Amen.
The angel of the covenant, the pillar of fire. Amen. Now that Americans don't want to work,
sorry, 1 Kings chapter 4. And Judah, Israel, and many are the sons of the sea, eating and drinking and making merry. Wow! And Arabia, and Solomon raised over all the kingdoms from the river, the land of the 1,000, the border of Egypt. They brought presents and served Solomon all the days of his life. My! And if you read all the way down to the 4th book, it's showing how Solomon, and what was his ration for one day, and how his children ate. That's America. Yeah, all you can do is you can tell by what's true. All you can do rations are big, portions are big, nothing unreachable. And they live, they eat, they drink, and they live. What kind of people will that produce? They're praying people. I'm a great people. Are we a thankful people? Deuteronomy 8 says, lest when you come into the land, you eat and you satisfy, you forget me. And you say, who is Jehovah? Deuteronomy 8, from the 2nd verse to the 11th verse. Read it. David said, Lord, don't make me so rich that I forget you. Don't make me so poor that I steal and bring shame on your name. Yeah.
Amen.
What is that about this? This is the life. And it goes on to say, God carefully now, in the 6th chapter, the 5th chapter, the 6th verse, it says, Now therefore command thou that they hew me cedar trees out of Lebanon, and my servant shall be with thy servant, and unto thee I will give hire for thy servant according to all that thou shalt appoint. He shall give hire for thy servant. In other words, now worship. And you can read the 5th and 6th chapters of Solomon, of Kings, and you will notice what it is. The Israelites did not want to do manual labor anymore. They don't want to go and pick up in the field.
Amen.
Neither do they want to go and pick the apples in the orchard. So what they do is start hiring, amen, work permits and visas to the Mexicans.
Amen.
They said, sheeples, they bring the Indians to do their software, so they bring in some Indians. They don't want to do anything, they just want to collect their investments. They don't want to work, they don't want to take the company, they don't want to be apples, they don't want people to be servants. They hire the people to bring them over to become servants in America. Good thing, huh? No. Because what they're doing what David never did. Under the prosperity of David, David's land was blessed. But he was never forgetting of God.
Amen.
He said, I was glad when he came unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Now these people don't even want to work. So they import all these workers in. What are they doing? They are changing their immigration policy. They're changing their immigration. People are not coming from America for wealth and opportunity. They're not coming to look for the true and living God.
Amen.
Now it becomes just a land where you get rich. The Indians, the Mexicans, the Filipinos, they're all coming into the land. America's changed its immigration policy from 1960 to 1980. They have opened the doors for these workers to come in. Watch what begins to happen. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I come to September 9/11. That's where I'm coming to.
Amen.
What happens when they open the door? They have labor problems now. So, from 1960 to 1980, labor unions begin to rise in America and become powerful. Teamsters union, truckers union, all of these unions begin to rise. And you know your Bible. One of those leaders of rose in Israel is a man named Jeroboam, who Solomon appointed to be head over the labor force. And he rose up and disagreed with Solomon. And Solomon sent the CIA to kill him, but he ran to Egypt. Is that right?
Amen.
And he ran to Egypt to hide, waiting for America to become weak, so he can come now.
Amen.
See? All of these things are written in American history, is in Israel's history. Parallels, full thinking like that prophet said. But my point is this, where did Israel really need to see? Where did America live? What really killed God away from her? What seems to love?
The word worship doesn't mean a bother. It means to give honor and reverence.
Oh.
to pay homage, to respect that which does not need respect, but condemnation. She has ordered them. So now, to maintain her economic power, because most of the people who vote for president are supported by Wall Street corporates, and large lobbying groups. Therefore, the White House is speaking for Wall Street, because those are the people that keep them in power. Therefore, they make all these alliances, even with China, with the most terrible human rights, and America was built in it on liberty and justice for all, not just America, but for all nations, for all humanity, with a promise of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all mankind. And look what China is doing to its own citizens. And we give them most favorable trade status because we like our dollar stores. 99 cent shampoos, 99 cents, everything 99 cents. When did it come from China? See, we become immigrants to our own constitution and our own Bill of Rights. That's why Brother Bam said she is Russian to the core. He said, I refuse to be from America. Now I'm an American. I enjoy the liberties. But America I love is America that was founded.
Amen.
Not the one that got corrupt. Watch
carefully. So he makes all these alliances. How can these alliances bring trouble? This is how it brings trouble. So now he makes all he opens the immigration law. He changes the name of the status. He opens up amen the door. So you have this great brilliant mind, a great software engineer comes to America. Oh, he comes, he starts working for Bill Gates. Bill Gates, oh, this is such an industrious man. And he wants to open a big money. He said, no, I'm going back to India. Why? I'm missing my wife. Oh, don't worry, the connection, I'm Bill Gates. Green card. Oh, bring your wife. The wife said, oh, she's 5-6 months before I gotta go, Bill. Why? Oh, my wife missed her money. Oh, send me one. Mommy comes. Mommy said, oh, I miss my little son. Oh, send me a little son. Oh. Now, mommy, my kids are there. And she looks around and she says, oh, look at this big house in India. We didn't have it. Oh, look at the car. Mercedes, in India we didn't have it. Oh, look at the grocery. Oh, in India we didn't have it. Oh, I didn't bought the blood. Oh, I want my permit. Send for my permit. So now they send for their permit to come to America. Permit is a Hindu priest. They want their Hindu priest because God went so good to them. So they bring a Hindu priest to come to jail. Prayers in your house, build me a little temple.
Yeah.
So now they buy a land for a temple. Now in a land of Jehovah.
Mm.
In the God bless the land, now they polluted the land.
Mm.
And that's what the Bible says. They polluted the land with their bronze. They polluted the land with their strange gods.
Amen.
The land of God bless.
Now we bring them. Now today we have a man who can't speak English too good. He's now governor of one of the biggest states, California. married to the most powerful family, the Kennedys were Roman Catholics. But about to see how she's winding herself back to the White House. She's whirling herself back there. What Roman influence. Our Supreme Court has more Roman Catholics on it today than ever in history. Mm. Mm. Yeah. World in our way, but influence. How can a nation founded by God now bring in the Chinese, the Hindus, the Mexicans? Now, Americans don't want to have children. They'll stretch their time. Yeah, but the dog from the Senate said the rams and dogs.
Amen.
Oh, so they don't want children. They don't really want them. Send the boys to it. So they want children. So now the Mexicans come in, the Catholic religion and says no contraception. So they have 9 and 10, 7 and 8, 9 and 10. They didn't know what's going on because, after all, in the new media wouldn't be so popular, would it?
Yeah.
Even with television, they still have a lot of children in America. So now you have Indians, oh, lots of them would. Lots of Catholics. I'm not speaking them off, but other nations. So now the Americans are not growing demographically. They are not growing in numbers.
Amen.
Who do you think is growing? The Mexicans are growing. Who is growing? The Hindus are growing. So when it comes time to war, you think they will vote for Christian? So you guys will be running the government and local governments. That's why the message is rotten to the core. It's rotten to the core. No wonder she's going to fall into the ocean. And he said, a wave is going to reach as far as we can.
Yeah.
Have I built a picture of? Is God righteous in his judgment?
Hey.
He says, why is God righteous in his judgment? Hey. He did not send a prophet to England. He did not send a prophet to France. He did not send a prophet to Germany. He sent a prophet to America because America is a federation and it is going to send a prophet to Ireland.
Amen.
Amen.
God did not. The pillar of fire came down in America. The cloud appeared in Arizona. Not in Germany. Not in England. Immigration policies have changed. Amen. Political marriages are made. Okay, now, with that being said, let us look at the consequences. Consequences. Watch carefully. Look, the pollution in the land is 11 and 3. Solomon came on the deeds of love, and he had 700 wife princes, 300 concubines. His wife turned his heart. And his wife turned away his heart. That's a miracle we're talking about. They've gone after other gods. For it came to pass, if you drop, it used to be that when you drop in the airport, the first thing you need is a Hare Krishna. Waiting for you. In the airport. For it came to pass when his son was old, and his wife turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not only for the Lord, his God and his heart as the heart of his David, his father. See, David represents America at its highest religious point. No alliances. David claimed no alliances with any nation. In 1946, when America joined the United Nations, he slapped God in his face. That's why in 1946, the prophet appears on the scene. Commission, go around the world, stand before my bride, I'm ready to judge. Because America turned her back by joining the United Nations. Can the United Nations bring peace? If the United Nations brings peace, then the Prince of Peace. What purpose is he? What purpose is he? Only Christ can bring peace.
Amen.
And they turned down the God of peace when he said shalom, they never came. When he offered them peace and tried to justify them this day to forgive their sins and heal their land, they turned them down. And Brother Manu said, if Israel could have rallied like the way Israel rallied among Solomon, he said, what would have happened today? And it was a greater gift than Solomon was on you. And they would not. They would not rally. Universal judgment strikes the land. Is he justified? This is what he did by bringing these people through the immigration laws. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Milcom, and the abomination of the Ammonites, and Solomon did evil in his sight in the Lord, and went fully after, and went not fully after the Lord, and did as his father David. Then did Solomon build high places for Chemosh. Look at what they're doing. They're bringing pollution in the land, corrupt in the land, abomination. He built the high place of Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Moab, the abomination of the children of Ammon, and so forth. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God, which had appeared unto him twice. Okay, what is the repercussion? What is the repercussion
I want you to notice here now. America is a land that's protected by God, is that right?
Amen.
I'm trying to find those stuff. I'm close enough. Hopefully 10 minutes. Okay?
Amen.
High point. Let's look at the high point. I want you to notice, let's look at 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 11. We noticed in the 9th verse that the Lord was having with Solomon, is that right?
Amen.
Okay, now let's look now at how God is going to, how is the punishment for the anger of the Lord is to be shown. Look, let's look here now on the 14th verse. And the Lord stood up an adversary unto Solomon, Adam the Edom. He was of the king's seed in Edom. Now, the very God that is supposed to protect Israel and be her defense, a stronghold of power, is now stirring up enemies against the very nation he wants to protect. Can you imagine that? He's stirring up Adam. Who do you think stirred up Ben Laden? Is that what you say? God stirred up against who? The very nation.
Amen.
That he wants to protect. God, do you know that Ben Laden is related to the royal family?
Amen.
Saudi Arabia?
Amen.
Do you know that it was America that trained him in Afghanistan?
Amen.
Do you know it was the CIA that trained him and supported him in Afghanistan against the Russian man?
Amen.
From 1979 to 1982, he fought there.
Amen.
And Russia did not, he could not take the land?
Yes.
How can you train a man and show him all your tricks and then try to fight him? And then try to find him. And when the Lord has stirred him up, he didn't stir himself, it is God that stirred up Ben Laden. Amen. Listen carefully. Those towers that fell in America, those buildings that was built, not only there but in the Pentagon, do you think that a regular man without the help of some God can do that? When God is for a nation, do you think, amen, that he's blind? He covered your eyes.
Amen.
A man who doesn't even have the wealth of maybe a billionaire or something to do it. A billionaire could do it.
Amen.
But he can do it. Why? God can do it. The Bible says God still has Hannah.
Amen.
What's happening? God still has Hannah. The Edomite. He was of the king's seed in Edom. Wait a minute. In the 11th chapter of the 1st verse, Solomon had a marriage alliance with the Edomites.
Amen.
You mean we had an alliance with Saudi Arabia? That's where Adam come from.
Amen.
That's where Ben Laden come from. Saudi Arabia. And we had a pact with him.
Amen.
I mean, this war was he stood up had that. From the very aligned nation that we have an alliance with? Oh, what's now? 19 verse. And Hadad had found great favor in the sight of Pharaoh. So that he gave him wife, his sister, to his own wife, the sister of Tahpenes, the queen. Wait a minute. You know, his enemy, Hadad's enemy. And the American enemy is Hannah. God stood him up. Is that right? And now he is hiding in Egypt. He's been given refuge in Egypt. But wait a minute. Egypt is our ally. Pharaoh's daughter. America has allies in Egypt.
Amen.
Which in fact is Europe. And the enemy is hiding in the very land. What do you think the man is hiding?
Amen.
I guarantee he's hiding where we have allies.
Amen.
The very nation protected him. Look, friends, the very nation, Egypt, the very nation, Europe, where the Antichrist came up, we have made alliance with. How evil it is. Where is our hiding? 21st verse. And when Hadad heard in Egypt, David slept with his father. What's the language he kept him? In other words, Hadad was waiting for America to get weak.
Amen.
He was buying his time because David represented the strength, the spiritual strength of America. And when Solomon came in with all their plentifulness and their entertainment and their, like the prophet said, their gods of entertainment. When he entered in, Hadad saw America was weak. You see, he was not listening to CNN.
Amen.
Watching what was going on. If you want to know America's weakness, listen to the news.
Amen.
They broadcast it. They broadcast all their weaknesses and evils. To CNN. He's listening down there. You see, I'm opening their weak, and all of a sudden now he's ready to strike. 9/11. What's happening now? 23rd verse. And God stirred him up another adversary, the son of Eliadab, the queen, Rehoboam, the son of Eliadab, that fled from the Lord Hadassah, king of Zobah. Lord stirred him up another adversary. I used to say that adversary was then, Saddam, he's dead, poor guy. Well, he died a poor guy, he wasn't poor. He died a poor guy.
Amen.
But what about Sheik? What is the Sheik's name again? Sheik Asada. What about him? Who's giving them trouble? Who ran away to Iran to hide?
Amen.
That he cannot exterminate his fighters from Iraq. Has great support all over the world. What do you think? You think these people are just existing because they exist? God cheered them up. Why? Because America has learned to trust in her powers. Her economic power was the Pentagon. Is that right? The economic power, the military power, the Pentagon. Oh, we've got military intelligence, we've got satellites, we've got smart bombs, we've got stand bombs. Look what happened. But all that they had, they couldn't prevent. They couldn't prevent that. But God stood it up. Judgment in the land. The prophet pronounced it must come to pass.
Amen.
You will see the hand of God again. Watch again. They trust in their economics as the World Trade Center. What's that called? We've got money, we've got wealth, we've got power. God showed. That your power is your money, I can bring it down.
Amen.
Where were they supposed to do the third one going for? The third one was going for the White House. They trusted their political maneuvers.
Amen.
That's where it was going for. But since the prophet says, you see, there's a bomb in Russia with its name, prophecy has to wait.
Amen.
There is a Russian bomb with our name. Isn't that what he said?
That's what he's waiting.
I'm closing it up. One second. How did this thing? That's what the book of Zephaniah now. We see these terrorists, and if you read carefully, you'll notice that Hadad didn't have a country.
Amen.
Read something that they're terrorists. See, let me read the rest of it to the end of it. Well, it says, and he was an adversary to Israel on the day of Solomon, besides the mischief that Hadad did. They are here to provoke America. Close this up here. Then the book of Zephaniah 1, everybody knows Zephaniah 1 is talking about the day of anger, the judgment of God. Is that right? You can read the whole thing, and this is a real part of it. So you can see where I'm going. 14%. The great day. Remember, the great day is not talking about a particular day, like 24 hours. It's talking about a period of time of judgment is progressive until the land is consumed. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near. He is great. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the voice of the day of the Lord, thunder from Mount Sunset. It thunder. Thunder, the seventh thunder today. He said, still in the picture, you see the Supreme Judge. He had already thundered.
Yeah.
The mighty man shall cry in victory. The day is a day of wrath, the day of trouble and distress, a day of weariness and desolation, a day of darkness, gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. In other words, amen, arise and shine thy light to shine, and the glory of the Lord to descend upon us. For darkness is upon the earth, and gross darkness is Isaiah 61, the prophet preached, this day the scripture is fulfilled. He says, this is the day of vengeance, the second half of Isaiah 61. Now, the 16th verse, the day of the trumpet, what's the trumpet is? The trumpet is to declare warning and alarm against the fenced cities. Now, all the fenced cities, cities that are protected by radar, by military forces, every state in the United States have what we call reserves. Military reserves. They are always there on duty. They call them the reserves. You serve with them, I think it's 1 weekend a month. And they are always in place. Every state has these reserve army personnel that are always there. That can help them. They have police force. They have SWAT teams. They have air defense strategies. They have listening device. That's defense teams. And still, they couldn't prevent that. Against the fence teams, what's happening? And against the high towers. And then against the high towers, you couldn't protect it. Even though they fence teams. What's why the towers? Why the towers? Because the Lord was supposed to be our tower. The Lord was America's tower. When she joined that UN, amen, she spat on his face. She was saying, I am trusted in the unity of nations to protect one another. It is God as our protector.
Amen.
It is God as our peacemaker. America turned their back on God starting in 1946. And started just when God sent that prophet around the world 7 times. What is a strong tower? Our strong tower is the Lord, is my strong tower.
Amen.
He is my refuge, my hiding. They are giving me a refuge. They are the trade center where their money is at. Trusting in your life. They have made the bed of God. Amen. Their strong tower to protect the military. They have made the White House. Amen. They are protecting us. But it's God who started that nation. I have nourished them. And they wouldn't know me. Close it up. So you see the towers of Zephaniah. There's no defense against it. America can buy itself out of everything. But you can't buy yourself in what's still of an enemy. No matter how much money they give Ben Laden, he'll never keep it. And God stills it up. Look at the verse here. It was neither their silver nor their gold that is able to save them in the day of the Lord's wrath. Nothing can save them. Ezekiel 28, I'm closing it up. The 27th chapter of Ezekiel reads like this. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, thou son of man, take lamentation of Tyrus, and tell the Tyrus, oh, that situated at the entry of the sea, the ark and merchants of the people of the island, thus say the Lord, oh God of Tyrus, oh God, oh Tyrus, thus say, I am a perfect and beautiful. I am born in the midst of the sea, the builders have perfected thy beauty. And if you read all the way down, you'll see that Tyrus and Sidon were cities on the coastline. They were coastal cities. What's getting closer? The coastal cities of Israel, they were where trade came in. They are like Los Angeles and California. Los Angeles and San Francisco.
two main thoughts. They were like dual sisters. That's where all of the merchants brought their children. Now watch carefully. I just showed you the marriage alliance with Solomon. I want to show you the economic alliance for the World Trade Center. He says here, and I'm going to let you read it because I don't have the time. I'm taking up a lot of your time. But if you read Ezekiel 28:27, all the way through, starting with, okay, I'm just going to read a couple for you, okay? Let's read from the 11th verse, and read before that. The men of Arba and the army upon the walls around the vault gathered them, were in thy towers, and hung their shields upon around the vault, and they have made thy beauty. Tarshish was the merchant, thy reason of multitude of all kinds of silver and iron and tin. And this parallel of Revelation 18, where all gold and wood and spice and everything was found in them. Jabal, Tubal, Mishish, which represents I think it was Moscow and so forth. You can run these nations. I used to have it in my old Bible, but I don't have it here. They were the merchants, the trade persons, the men, and the vessels. And if you read all the way down to Ezekiel 27, you'll notice they were trading with countries who were their enemies. Countries that hated us, we were still having trade with them. We were still having alliance with them. That's why my mom said, she buys them. She buys them. In closing, watch carefully. What's the 26th verse? Brother Brown said California was sick. And in California, San Francisco and Los Angeles are the two main ports. Stephen and Tyler. California represented the seat of Satan, its economic seat. Rome represents its religious seat. New York represents its political United Nations seat. But economic entertainment sin capital is California. From there, Hollywood sent its filth around the world of property in God's sense. Watch, 26 verse. Thy towers have brought thy rods have brought thee into great waters in the east wind, have broken in the midst of the sea the riches of thy fear, thy merchandise, thy mariners, and thy pilots, thy tokens. And the occupiers of the merchandise, and all thy men of war that are in thee, and in all thy company, which is in the midst of thee, shall fall into the midst of the sea in the day of thy ruin.
Amen.
God is prophesying that these coastal, these two, Sidon and Tyros, is going to fall into the sea, like from the land prophesied California and Greenland.
Amen.
And he goes on to say, the suburbs shall shake, why? Because an earthquake will take them.
Amen.
And the suburbs shall shake at the sound of the cry of thy pilots, and all the hands of the board, the mariners, and the pilots of the sea, amen, shall come down from thy ships that shall stand upon the land. Watch the 34th verse. And in the time when thou shalt be broken by the sea, in the depths of the waters, thy merchandise, and all thy company of the men of the sea shall fall. Let me close by saying this. Since 9/11, America has never recovered. Since 9/11, she's in war in Afghanistan, she hasn't won it. She is in war in Iraq, she hasn't won it. She is in conflict with North Korea, she hasn't won it. She's in conflict in different parts of the world. She has, even her allies are in conflict. She's going down. And when you see America going down, it means the rest of the world is not far behind. God has judged that land. If that was a godly nation, and her standard has fallen, if she is cursed, guess what other nations are? Cursed. Yes. The only hope we have is this great message. The only hope we have is that we are guarded under the sound of the voice of the mighty eagle.
Amen.
And I'm glad to be identified with you.